As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com. With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
what I learned through my awakening was that this imagination of mine, this ability to connect to this sort of magical place, it fed me. It was like when I would go there and just dream or write, it was like the more time I would spend there, the more I would feel full. And so I just wanted to be there more. And now for me, even my dreams. So like I will have these dreams when I wake up in the morning, and I will sit and write immediately because I want to give this place of imagination where dreams exist, where I believe ideas come from, the ability to have space and place in my real world.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, and Jaimayomis. It's Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a soul-expanding and heart-opening podcast. And in this episode, I'm excited to introduce to you Brent Hurd, aka The Awakened Dad. I'll have Brent share his story since he so eloquently shares his transformation and had me at the edge of my seat during this episode, but I will preface this with a piece of his story as he was living and breathing the corporate world as a Twitter executive until he had a wild awakening due to health issues and a near-death experience that led him down a different path, shall we say. So anyway, now he is a great storyteller. And given his background, a smart businessman who happens to be helping Bree out. And anyway, I was introduced to him through Bree because, well, he's not only a great storyteller, but a smart businessman who is helping Bree out. And she wanted me to chat with him for whatever reason. I had no idea why, but I'm so happy I did, as we were mostly talking about Bree, but I also got a glimpse into his journey, and I could tell that Brent was a genuine, sensitive, great family man with a story that really needs to be heard. So I had this strong nudge to have him on the show, and he said yes, and here he is. So in this episode, Brent shares his story and waking up while in the corporate space and talking with spirit and what spirit means to him, along with the power of imagination and daydreaming and being an awakened family man to his kids and soulmate. And his wife and him have a wildly faded astrological chart, which he explores towards the end of this podcast, along with more astrology things, which were so fun to talk about. And we just cover a lot of different topics in this conversation, and I have an inkling of a feeling you may enjoy it. Anyway, also keep an eye out for his upcoming relaunch of his podcast, The Awakened Dad, launching in a few days, July 22nd. So wild. When I told him the date that this was going to come out, he was like, what? This is my dad's birthday in heaven. And from what the medium told me a couple of months ago, he is working up there to help people down here to live out their dreams. And so to honor him, I am launching on July 22nd. Perfect timing, the week of his podcast launch, of course. Meant to be. Divine timing indeed. Also, this episode is sponsored by Skillshare, who is gifting you a free month when you go to skillshare.com/yourownmagic. More info in the midst of the episode and in the show notes. Also, if this episode or any episode of Your Own Magic nourishes you, inspires you, or helps you in any way, shape, or form, feel free to subscribe on your preferred podcasting platform and or leave a rating and review if you feel the nudge to. Would mean the world. Thank you so much for doing so. Anyway, let's move on with the show, shall we? And now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Brent Hurd. First, I'm actually curious though, before we start, start later, but I just want to know how you're doing.
Man, thank you for asking. I am doing I'm doing good. I'll tell you, I am definitely feeling this eclipse energy, which has been, it's been a wild, actually, week for me.
Some new and things come into fruition for you. Yep.
Yes. New stuff like walked in the door. I was like, whoa, what is going on?
Good things.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Super exciting. Good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Maybe I'll leave that in because that was beautiful to hear.
Okay, great. I love it. I love it.
And I'll also ask, what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
Yes. So what is lighting me up right now is my connection to spirit is lighting me up right now. In a way that in a way that it never has before, in like some of the most magical and mysterious ways, like so much so from a broad perspective, but even down to these like really finite examples where I'm always questioning like, okay, are you really there? Like, are you really there, spirit? Like, even this is like crazy examples, but like, you know, I'll wake up at like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, to, you know, for whatever, go to the bathroom or whatever and lay back in bed. And sometimes like I'm not falling asleep right away and I'm asking spirit to help me fall asleep. But hold on, it gets actually more interesting. This was actually two nights ago. I was like testing it. I was like, spirit, please help me fall back to sleep. And also, can you make sure that I'm up at 6:30? And literally fell right to sleep. And at 6:28, I woke up literally out of the middle of a dream. And it felt like someone woke me.
Well, someone probably did.
I know it. And I'll tell you, like, so I've had these experiences throughout my life, but finally am trusting it to just a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. And so I'm curious what spirit represents for you, what spirit is for you, who spirit is, if you don't mind explaining.
Yeah. It's a great question. Spirit to me is this sort of overarching power, this overarching energy is actually probably the best way to put it. This overarching energy that has its hands and eyes on me more than I ever realized in my life. And, you know, like I could actually go on and on here.
I'm listening because I feel this so deeply too, you know, and I know many of the listeners do. And it's amazing to hear how people will define it for themselves and bring their own words and articulation to it. And that's beautiful to say that it's this overarching energy that has its hands and eyes on me. That's one of the best ways I've heard it explained.
You know, and I'll tell you, I never trusted it. And meaning I would always brush it off. I would brush it off as, oh, you know, that was just another coincidence. Oh, just another, sort of unique thing that happened in my life. And the thing that pops into my head right now, as I'm telling you this, is this story when I was actually like right in the middle of building out the Twitter business. And I had come home from a trip. I was flying home from somewhere. And at the time we lived in a home, where we had a downstairs, sort of area where there was a bedroom. And I would like to sleep down there because it was cool and it was dark. And sometimes I would just go down there and I would sleep and get a really good night's sleep. And this particular night I went to sleep and out of nowhere, I found myself sitting on the edge of the bed. Like, didn't even remember like waking up, you know, there was no like waking up process. Literally, I was sitting on the edge of the bed and all of a sudden I find myself walking up the stairs in my house. And as I was walking up the stairs, I felt this tightness in my chest. And I walk upstairs, get to my bedroom, get in bed. My wife's sleeping. And I wake up and I realize that, like, I thought I was just sick, or I thought something was going on, you know, sort of in my, my, like a cold, like I had some sort of a flu, yeah, something like that. And I woke up and I said to my wife, I said, you know, I said, honey, something is wrong. Like, I didn't know what it was, but I knew that something was wrong in the house. I just had this sense. And I said, I want you to call Atlanta Gas and Light, because I said there was like this weird smell in the house. And she calls Atlanta Gas and Light. They come over. It's now in the evening. And they ask us immediately to evacuate the house. We have two little children at the time. And so we get the kids, we evacuate the house, and they say, listen, the carbon dioxide levels in the house are way above safety. So we need to air out the house, and we need you to evacuate the house. And I said, obviously, we left the house, we go to a hotel, we come back the next day, I'm walking up my driveway, and the guys are still there. I'll never forget the guy, one of the guys from Atlanta Gas and Light, he's staring at me, like as I'm walking up, like just has a bead on me. And I get close to him, and he says to me, he says, Mr. Hurd, I don't know how to like explain this to you, but there's no reason why you should be here. The carbon dioxide leak was directly next to the bedroom that you were sleeping in, and it was 10,000% higher than any levels were safe for any human being to continue to live in.
What? So he means there's no reason you should be here, not as in your house, but alive.
Alive. He was like, wow. he was looking at me almost like I was a ghost.
Wow.
And so all I could chalk that up to was something waking me up and getting me out of that room and walking me up to a safer place. And I've had these moments that have happened in my life now multiple times, which mm-hmm. is this, it's this feedback loop to me that says you are here to do something, something that we're going to keep you here for, and something that we're going to keep you safe for. And so it was sort of this like, amazing moment that I think really introduced me to this concept of, there is much more around us than we actually believe.
So this is your awakening story of what really, something hit you.
Something hit me. That's exactly right.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And at this time, you were still working with Twitter. Do you mind sharing the entire story of that whole process?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started working for Twitter, I'd been in the technology and media business for a while. Yahoo and AOL and these really big technology companies. And then I opened up the offices for Twitter here in Atlanta, where I live, and went through about a 5-year journey building the business. When I started, there were about 150, 200 people in the company. When I left, there were about 4,000 people in the company. And we just sort of went through this rocket ship ride. And for me, my whole life was work, career, work, career, work, career. And after about 5 years, we had just had our first two kids. Every time I left, I would always feel like it was a day that I would never get back with the kids. And it would literally break my heart every time I would get on a plane and take off and leave them. And the more I did it, the more I started to just numb myself so I could just do it without really feeling it. And so about 5 years in, I made the decision to leave Twitter and go to a company, another local company in Atlanta, a startup. And 2 days after I made the decision, to leave, I had an emergency appendectomy followed by walking pneumonia.
Whoa.
Yep. And it rocked my world much more than I actually knew what was happening. There was so much happening behind the scenes that I just didn't know. And I remember I went into the surgery and I had so much fear coursing through my system, so much fear of the unknown, fear of going into surgery, fear of, you know, are my kids going to be okay? And it was just like fear, fear, fear. Went through the surgery. The surgery was successful. They actually sent me home that night. And I remember vividly, I walked into my house after, you know, being rushed to the emergency room, having the surgery. And the only way I can describe it is that I walked into my house and for the first time in my life, I truly saw my children, like saw the details of my children, like saw the smallness of my children, like saw and sensed the spirit of my children. And these were like these sensations that I had never had before. And I, like something shifted in me from literally that moment. And the story gets a bit more intense because as every day went by, my anxieties were growing. Because I had never had to be still in my life.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And so everything was sort of coming up within me. And what happened, which is probably the most impactful, was 2 days after I had the surgery, I woke up in my bed. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And out of nowhere, a vision flashed sort of in my psyche. It was like a, like sometimes I'll see pictures in my mind, and this picture just flashed in my mind. And the picture was me sitting on my children's swing set in the backyard, holding a gun to my head. And this image scared me so much that, I was like, okay, I need to figure this out. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, like life just went from me, you know, resigning, going to this, you know, more local job, you know, everything was sort of copacetic, to holy cow, like my psyche was like impacted. And I went through just, you know, a course of therapy and I actually connected with this deeply spiritual 82-year-old therapist that was really life-changing for me. And the reason it was life-changing for me was because what I learned was that in order for me to grow, something within me had to die.
100%. Yes. Isn't it wild that sometimes our greatest awakening comes from a crisis and may even come from a moment where it's either a vision in our mind or in our reality where we see ourselves about to die? And that's simply just the death of an old life, an old self, an ego.
And that's exactly what it was. It was this ego of mine that I had built up so strongly for so long, obviously from the earliest years in my childhood for the ability to protect myself and survive my childhood, I created this incredibly strong ego, which I had no understanding of until this all happened. And so, you know, my whole life, and I, you see this all the time, was living from ego. So essentially what I went through was this very sort of this very interesting time in my life, because at the same time that it was difficult and dark and challenging, it was actually one of the greatest periods of my life, because I really began to understand who it is that I am, the gifts that I was given in this life, and this much deeper connection to spirit, spirituality, and really the magic of life.
Yes. And you are now seeing whatever your life has for you unfold, which is a beautiful thing. And you were talking to me about, we're all born with this seed of greatness, which you're rediscovering or discovering, and many are discovering in this moment of discovery during this time. And so I'm just curious what the seed of greatness is, and do you mind elaborating on it?
Yeah, thank you. So what happened was, I began to become this very deep seeker, and it was like every book I could get my hands on about spirituality, about the sort of bigger questions in life, about why we're here, our purpose. And I went on this own study for myself. And what happened was, I read a book by a woman. The name of the book was The Top Five Regrets of the Dying, a woman by the name of Bronnie Ware. And she was a hospice nurse who helped thousands and thousands of people die. And she would interview them within their last couple weeks of life. And one of the things that the number one regret of the dying is people on their deathbed who did not live a life that was authentic to them versus living a life of what others expected of them. And this book struck such a deep nerve within me that I went on this journey of studying what it is that we have when we're born. And what I learned was that every single one of us is born with this unique seed of greatness, is what I call it. And this seed is essentially implanted in us before we even come. And this seed has these very unique characteristics of the things that we are naturally connected to. And in most cases, we know this when we come, we know this as children, and then in our lives, so many things happen where this thing that we know, we begin to bury, and we begin to bury it because of either what our family says about it, our friends say about it, society says about it. And then we go on and we live these lives continuing to cover up the seed of greatness. And it has become this deeply passionate work of mine, helping people rediscover the seed of greatness, because it was sort of this process for myself to understand my own seed of greatness. And for me, when I left, I automatically reconnected with this deeply creative part of myself. I mean, like singing lessons, guitar, art, glass blowing, you name it.
Really? Amazing. Oh, yes. Amazing. And how old were you?
I was 41 at the time.
See? Yeah. That's beautiful to hear, because when people hit a certain age, it's like their late 20s when they think that, you know, they can't do anything else.
And yeah, and the truth is that the seed always remains in you.
Yeah.
It never goes away. And my belief is, what happens is the universe, spirit, energy around us, sort of source energy, is always bringing us back to the seed. It's always bringing us back to the seed really by in all these different ways, restructuring your life, sometimes through sickness, sometimes through loss, sometimes through grief. But it's always bringing us back to these seeds that we were born with.
Mm, beautifully said, beautifully said. And you are re-exploring this now. And there's so much that your story is so beautiful and you have so much to share. And I'm glad that you're now sharing it with the world. And you even started a podcast, right, in 2018 called The Awakened Dad. Am I correct?
Yes, that is right.
So are we anticipating a relaunch?
We are anticipating a relaunch, actually. and I'll tell you what's so interesting about that is that in 2018, I launched this whole project called The Awakened Dad, which was a podcast and was at the time helping fathers reconnect on a deeper level with their children. And what happened to me was, again, the sort of old programming came back in, and fear crept in, and anxiety crept in, and worry about what others were going to think about me crept in, and worry about, you know, all the people and business people that I had worked with and what they would think of me. And all of that stopped me from moving into that my own seed. And what I found was, even though it stopped me, it never left me. It never left me.
Yes. Yes. It never leaves. It's planted within you. And there's no, you know, taking out the roots. It's there. It's rooted in. Do you believe that people go through these experiences of contrast as part of their awakening journey, where they may feel disconnected for a period of time? And if so, what advice would you give for them to, I don't like to say wake back up, but I'd rather say just, you know, reconnect.
Yeah, I do. I do believe that life shows up in contrast so that that seed within comes to us. And my belief is that, and my own experiences and from the work I've been doing, is that that seed takes the shape of these whispers that we hear, these whispers that we hear when we're in the shower, these whispers that we hear when we're in meditation, these whispers that we hear when all of the distractions go away. And the whispers remain the same, you know, over and over, because the seed never changes from what I've learned and have researched. And so, yes, it has, everyone has the ability to reconnect with the seed. And what I have also learned, and yes, I feel like life does give us such contrast, but what I've also learned is that not only do we always reconnect with the seed, but that it does take a level of courage to move into our greatness. It takes a level of courage, and also it takes being surrounded by a community of people who are encouraging us to move into that greatness. Because doing it alone, and from my own experience, is so incredibly difficult, because you have all of life coming at you, and whatever your life is, whether it's children, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's society, life just comes at us. And what I have found and learned is that community is such great medicine to help us move into our greatness and into the seed that's within us.
It's truly key. And sometimes you might be in a community where you realize though you love the people, whatever you're experiencing in life right now, it might not be serving you so much. If I'm not somebody who's like, okay, cut them out. I'm 100%. I love to keep people that have been in my life for decades in my life or since I was born. I keep them in my life forever. I love them so much and they have such a beautiful gift and treasure. But also to support my spiritual journey, it's been very profound and I think essential even to have a community that also supports that, if that makes sense.
I absolutely agree. And this was one of the things that I really shrugged off for so long, you know, just in the sense of like, and I really think so much of my ego was like, oh, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it, you know, on your own. And the truth is the community aspect of it is this, I feel like it's like this X factor, if you will. It's like everyone should have a community of people who are solely, their sole responsibility is to encourage us to move into this seed of ours, however strange or odd or, you know, different that seed is, because, and the reason why is because what I have learned and experienced is once you are there and operating in it and being that, the rivers of joy that open up within our systems, you simply cannot replicate.
Beautifully said. Amen. Amen. You're born to create and continue to expand your creative horizon. And that's why I'm so thankful to continue to partner with Skillshare, as Skillshare is a sponsor of this episode. And they're now offering our listeners a free 1-month trial using our link, skillshare.com/yourownmagic. And Skillshare, for those who don't know, is an online learning community for creatives where millions come together to take their next step in their creative journey. And Skillshare offers thousands of inspiring classes for creatives and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and so much more. And there are so many fascinating classes. One that genuinely piques my interest is from the one and only Jonathan Van Ness, star of Queer Eye. And he has a class that seems so nourishing for the soul. It's called The Ultimate Self-Care Playbook: Discover and Nurture Your Centered Self, with lessons like preparing your planner, listening to yourself, releasing limiting beliefs, a yoga moment, the joy of discovery, and so much more. Brilliant, I say, brilliant. They also have many classes from YouTubers giving YouTube advice, like Sorella Moore, Marquise Brownlee, Lily Sine, and Nathaniel Drew, and podcasters with podcasting advice, of course, on getting started and more. So go explore your creativity at skillshare.com/yourownmagic and get a 1-month free trial of their premium membership. That's skillshare.com/yourownmagic for your 1-month free trial of their premium membership. And now back to the show. Curious what other seeds of greatness you are exploring, or when you're following these whispers, where has this led you to explore and see your greatness?
Yeah. Well, you know, first and foremost has been this gift of the seed of intuition of mine, and this real ability to sense and feel people and their situation, their lives, what's ailing them. Like I realized that initially I was like, oh, everyone can do this. This is part of everyone. And by the way, I believe everyone actually has these abilities. I just, for some reason, I think came in super sensitive into this world, and recognized that gift, that intuition, I'm responsible to give it to others. I'm responsible to help others with the things that I am picking up and seeing and sensing. And that piece, that sort of piece of, look, this isn't mine. Like this isn't for me. This is for me to truly be in service of other people by giving them the things that are coming to me. Yes. So that was like just the biggest piece, number one. And then I don't know if I'd actually like rank them, because I think they're all equally important, but was this incredibly deep connection to creativity, to this sort of mysterious like layer of ideas, this like mysterious idea universe or imagination universe that I believe is out there. And as a kid, I would always, you know, I would always like get in trouble because I would daydream. I would just literally like get into, you know, my own deep imagination and create these elaborate stories. And so what happened to me was I associated that with bad, because when I would daydream, I was always told like, hey, you know, you need to pay attention. You got to focus. You need to be able to focus. And so this like vast imagination of mine, I began to associate with negative. And so it like programmed in me as, okay, like, no, not something you need to focus and you need to be on track and you know, all those different, you know, things that people talk about. And, yep. And what I learned through my awakening was that this imagination of mine, this ability to connect to this sort of magical place, it fed me. It was like when I would go there and just dream or write, it was like the more time I would spend there, the more I would feel full. And so I just wanted to be there more. And now for me, even my dreams. So like I will have these dreams when I wake up in the morning, and I will sit and write immediately because I want to give this place of imagination where dreams exist, where I believe ideas come from, the ability to have space and place in my real world.
That is exactly my inner world as well. I no, you are only confirming a lot of what I experience as well. And it's always nice to hear from another fellow daydreamer of how they mostly spend a lot of their days without feeling guilty about it anymore. I think that this journey has allowed me to sit in that space because it does nourish me. Of course, I also, you know, like I'm aware, very present as well. So how do you integrate the two so you can also make things happen in life?
Yeah, that's such a good point, because it's something that for a while, you know, it was like I had this gear when I was in the corporate world, this gear of just doing. I mean, everything was do, everything was execute and do. And what I recognized was so much of that was really coming from this ego place of mine. Now, I would still use my creativity and my imagination and my intuition, you know, in that world. And then sort of after I went through this journey, it definitely got me to a place of, okay, I now need to have the courage to communicate the things that were coming to me, either from this connection to spirit, either from this imaginatory, magical part of the universe, and begin to communicate these things. And communicate them in the form of, you know, whether it was writing or music, and then expressing that to the world. What I found was that so many of us get fed when we express our truest selves to the world. Now, at the same time that I say that, it takes so much courage to do, because the human species is designed, and our brains are designed to protect ourselves, because we don't know whether it's the lion 100,000 years ago, or if it's something else that's going to cause us harm. But the brain will work against us expressing our truest selves in fear of what's going to happen. And, you know, you can fill in the blank of what's going to happen. So I really moved into this place of communicating, expressing, and just pushing it out in the face of the fear that would come up within me. And it was like, I knew that if I gave that fear more than 30 seconds, I wouldn't do it. So meaning whether it was, I was recording a video, or whether it was, I was, writing, I knew that I had to get whatever that was out within a very short time frame, or else my mind would make up enough stories for me to not express what was in me, what was truly in me.
It's so good. So you give yourself 30 seconds.
It was a 30-second rule, and I knew if I didn't get it out within 30 seconds, it was not going to go out. Now, this was after, you know, years of writing so much, doing, I mean, I would do videos and I would never put them out.
Oh, yes. Yes. I understand fully.
Yeah. I would do videos and I would never put them out. I would write. I feel like I would like be channeling and write, and I would never put it out there.
Yep.
Solely based on the fear. And so I knew that if there was a way to get through that it would just help me to express. But then the other thing that ended up happening was when I began to put my truth out there, it came back in like megatons from people.
Mm-hmm. In the best way.
In the best possible way.
Yeah. Rewinding just a little bit back for those who are sensitive and feel responsible as well for, okay, you have a great intuitive hit about somebody and you want to share it, but at the same time, are you someone who would rather just share it, or do you kind of wait for the invite?
Meaning if I get an intuitive hit about a person,
yes,
or about someone,
yes,
yeah, I'll share it. But in a lot of cases, I'll share it in a way that is sensitive.
Yes, so they don't feel attacked, yes, or pointed at.
I'll actually like know it, and then I'll ask questions that help me to get to the place where then I can deliver it.
That's so powerful to know, especially for those that are listening who also are very highly sensitive and they receive these intuitive hits about other people. It's also sometimes it's like I will question like, okay, I want to make sure that this is not something that I'm misinterpreting as well, because that's not fair for the other person. So it's good to ask those questions just to make sure you are on point, and then at the same time being sensitive to the approach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other messages you'd like to share before rapid fire?
Yeah. Probably the biggest learning, you know, for me, just around this sort of just this intuition piece, this seed of greatness piece, you know, sort of the, what I've learned is my, at least the reason that I'm here and doing this work, and the reason that I'm here, it's like, I've gotten very clear on the reason that I'm here.
Yes. Yes. What do you think your soul's greatest mission is and why you're here?
Yeah. My soul's greatest mission is to help others uncover and live out their greatest lives and their greatness and their seed of greatness.
Their seed of greatness. Why do you call your podcast the Seed of Greatness? Actually, I like the Awakened Dad though.
I know. You know, it's a great question, actually. Like 3 years ago, like this came to me, literally just came to me. It was like download after download after download. And so what did I do? I went and bought the URL, Seed of Greatness.
Great. Perfect. Yeah. As long as you own that.
yes.
See, and that is some of the benefits and the bonuses of coming from the corporate space where you're like, okay, now I know what to do when it comes to owning something, just so I can make sure to get that in gear.
You know what? It's so funny. I never even think of that. And it's actually such a good point and a good point to share with people, in the sense of, because yes, so many people get downloads, and I feel like so many more people are waking up every day and really becoming these channels. And like the easiest thing, and I've done this multiple times, is like, I'll like have this like this download, and I'll literally go to Google domains and I will buy
it. I love that. I've done that. I just recently did that 2 days ago as well. So I'm on the same page as you.
That's awesome.
All right. Ready for some rapid fire, Brent?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Same. Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Same. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Aria, what's your morning routine like?
6:30 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Or 6:28.
Or 6:28. That's exactly whichever. Yeah, whatever. It's like whatever spirit decides. I know that's how. Coffee, push the button on the coffee maker, go downstairs, light my incense, light my candle, sit down, meditate for 25, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. walk upstairs, get my cup of coffee, sit down at my desk and journal for as long as it comes.
Beautiful. As long as it comes. I love that. Just stream of consciousness.
That's right. Totally stream of consciousness. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And what are your favorite incense to light?
Ooh, so I have this vanilla cinnamon, which
lovely.
Yeah, which I mix with, I actually have this redwood incense as well. I don't know the brand name. And then another like cinnamon bark, like the cinnamon kind of that whole world.
You love the cinnamon things. Yeah. Yes, I get that. It's such a great smell. Yeah. I get it. And taste. Yeah. I get it. How do you feel compared to the corporate world, your day-to-day experiences? Are you more free with your time, or are you somebody that keeps it yourself like very busy and focused?
You know, I am more free with my time. And now at the same time, what I have learned and recognized is that without putting just a container around myself. And I used to like rebel against the schedule. I'd be like, oh God, you know, like I don't want to have the schedule because of this, just this creativity, this creative part of me. But what I learned was that the schedule, I like to call it putting a container around myself so that I can produce the work that's in me. Because if I don't have a container around myself, I won't produce in the way that I know that I need to produce.
100%. It's smart. It's smart to have that.
Yeah.
How do your children and your wife support your awakening?
God, that's great. That might be a whole other podcast. Well, it was funny because the first thing that comes to me is when I first started meditating, and I first started meditating when I was at Twitter, I was towards the end, I was getting sick every 3 months. I would get strep throat with a fever on the couch for like 3 days, Z-pack, and then back at it. And this was like, I feel like this was spirit, like slow down, communicating, slow down. And so I reached out to this great friend of mine. He was actually in India at the time. This was like 2013. And he said, listen, this was before any meditation apps came out, anything like that, and they had just started. He said, listen, I heard about this app called Headspace, and you should give it a try. There's this simple way, like, you know, 10 minutes for 10 days, see what happens. And I did it, and literally like day two, the penny dropped, and I was writing, I mean, probably like 4, 5, 6 sheets of paper, how grateful I was for my life and my kids and my wife, all these things that I hadn't felt in so very long. So that's a long story of, so I started to meditate, and Raquel, I judged it so much that I would hide that I was meditating.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't talked about. Nobody really did it. And especially in like corporate America. And so, and I would literally like sneak downstairs to sit and meditate. And over time, obviously, it became much more, you know, just part of my life. And what I've recognized is that I know that my kids see this, and it's something that they now have that is ingrained and programmed in them, because I was doing it since they were, you know, 3 and 4 years old.
I love that. I love that. It's amazing that you get to be that influence for them.
And so they very much support me. You know, one of my kids is like, I feel like, literally like a channel, like very spiritual. The other one, who's the oldest one, he's like, you know, what are you talking? He's like, what are you talking about, Dad? He's like, oh, he'll be like, oh, is it like, sun in like the 10th house today, Dad? Is that why I'm, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, oh, really, Dad? Is it like Aries, like something like that? No. Yeah, totally make
That's
fun
hilarious.
Of me.
Yeah, totally make fun of me.
Yeah,
but he's making fun of you, but it sounds like he's not. He's still supportive in a humorous way.
Well,
even if he doesn't believe it, it's just like the fact that they don't have to believe it. It's just like not judging you for it.
Well, so I got to tell you this. So the most interesting thing is, so of course, like throughout this journey, I've learned astrology. Like I know how to read birth charts and like just love astrology. Follow it. So much. And so I know all of my kids and my wife, like what their birth charts are, who they are and how they set up.
Right. And it's probably on point.
Well, the thing is he's an Aries sun and a Cancer moon, which means, are you the same thing?
Well, no. For some reason it shocked me given his, is he like a Capricorn rising or something?
He's a Leo rising.
And
but what I've learned about him is that, like, him being a Cancer moon, he actually has this like very deep connection to you. Yes. And
100%. So deeply intuitive. Yes.
And so I love that he makes fun of me for it, because yes, there will be a day that he'll be like, Dad, we need to talk.
Yep. I mean, I know exactly. It does. And it takes time in one's own time, which is so great. Yeah. How amazing is that? I love hearing that.
And then my middle child he's Cancer sun. So he's like he's literally like rainbow aura, which is sort of,
How about moon?
I think he's actually a Gemini moon.
Okay. And then you have another child, right?
And then I have the youngest who's a Virgo rising Gemini sun.
Okay.
Is he
very like together, put together?
He is like, it's like he's four, he's almost five. And I'm like, I know you're going to be some sort of a physician.
Probably.
He is like so just intellectual and analytical and
probably so smart. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then how about you and your wife?
Yeah. So the interesting part is that when we got married, and I specifically remember at our wedding, my wife got up on stage and said something to the crowd that had some spiritual undertone.
Really?
And I was like, I literally was like, I cannot believe you just said that to all of these people. Like such judgment towards, you know, any level of spirituality. Like I had judged it so much. And so she grew up really sort of from an early age connected to spirituality. And so it was like when I had my awakening, I say I like woke up off a cliff, and it was like, you know, just sort of like, so we talk and have this really, we actually have a I've done a whole lot of research on it. We actually have a faded relationship. We're sort of, it just means that we I guess fated, destined, is that she, when we first got married, and in our early years, you know, we had kids really quickly. And like in the early years of our marriage, we had a ton of challenges. Like we just did not communicate. And she triggered me so much. I mean, I would be literally like triggered. Now, what happened in our marriage was that me being triggered that much and then going through the awakening was actually the key to me understanding all of these things about myself. And what I learned was that triggers are actually the opening, the doorway to understanding who we are. It's actually like the greatest thing that can happen to us is to get triggered, because underneath each trigger is this pain and this wound. And in order to heal, you got to know what the wound is. And in order to know what the wound is, you got to get triggered. And so for me, but I didn't know any of this, you know, until I sort of went through this experience. And so went from this sort of friction relationship to one where I just have this unbelievable level of gratitude for her in my life, for meeting her. And the reason I say it was fated.
F-A-D-E-D. I was like, what's the movie? Okay. I see what you're saying. I literally was so confused. I thought this was like an astrological fated chart thing. I was like, what is this? But fated. Yes, of course it was fated.
Well, actually it like astrologically was fated in the sense of, when you line up our charts, the planets in our charts are at places in the houses of our charts we were essentially destined for each other, destined to heal the wounds in either of us throughout our relationship in order for us to live the lives that we're here to live. And because, you know, part of awakening is you got to deal with the pain and trauma that's in there. And by the way, we all have it.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that is beautiful that you got to see this. And then it was like, it was just proof on the pudding that you already knew, just seeing your charts aligned. So what's your sun and moon? What's her sun and moon and rising?
Yeah. So we're both Leo rising. I have a lot of fire. So I'm Aries sun, Aries moon.
Wow.
I got a amount of fire. Yeah, I know. It can definitely.
Trust me, as someone who's crazy with the fire too, and I'm all over the board Leo, by the way, I totally understand the crazy fire.
Yeah. So she is a Gemini sun, Aquarius moon, and we're both Leo rising, but the Aquarius moon is one of the most interesting things. And she just basically like looks at life like in a very unique and different way. She's just very kind of inventive with how she approaches life, with how she is a mother, with how, and she has this deep inner strength that we all in different, you know, cases and spaces and places have latched onto, the whole family.
Beautiful. And I picture her as well being someone who really cares about other humans.
I mean, it's so funny. I said to her the other day, like, because we'll be talking about a situation and I'll say, you know, I'll say something, and the first place that she goes to is thinking about someone else on a much more macro scale. And I said to her, I said, you are always like focused on the suffering of humanity. And she's like, you nailed it. She's like, literally, like, all I think about are people and what they're going through. Ugh,
okay. She's an angel.
Angel.
And you are too. It's so beautifully combined. I love hearing all of this. Now I have one last question to ask you that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests.
Yes.
How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Yes. So I believe that within us, the magic resides in this place that's always talking to us. And I am certain that when all of the distractions go away and the quiet comes, which is nature or meditation or shower or exercise. The whispers come. The whispers are always speaking to us, and they come in the form of that thought will pop in, that thing just rises up within us, and we know, we all have this inner knowing. And what I have learned is that when we connect with the knowing, however crazy the knowing is, however crazy it is, it allows us to live within this river of joy, which I believe is this river of magic.
Beautifully said. Wow. Brent, I'm so thankful for all your many messages on here. And I know that so many people will feel very fueled and nourished and seen with what you said, and as they may relate in many ways. And Brent, you are truly a light. And I'm so thankful that you are sharing your story with more people. Where can everyone connect with you?
Yes. Yeah, so you can connect with me at Instagram. Brent Hurd, and you can email me, brenthurd@gmail.com. Very simple.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. No one provides it.
The that's the corporate guy in me.
There you go.
That's so funny. I know, it's just, it comes totally natural. It's like, yeah, like how do you put these two things together? I don't really know.
My phone number is
literally.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Oh, Brent. Thank you. And also The Awakened Dad.
Yes, The Awakened Dad.
I'll put a link.
That's exactly right. Yes, The Awakened Dad podcast. Yes, thank you.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Brent.
Thank you, Raquel.
Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. Especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the euromagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.